This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, so there is a loser. Oof. What an introduction. His name is Nadr bin al-Harith. This man, he saw the effectiveness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's speech. The Prophet used to sit next to the Kaaba and reads the Quran, teaches people what al-hikmah, which is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, authentic narrations, teaches people the Quran, yuzakkih him, purifies him, etc. And he sees the powerful speech he has and the impact it has on people. So Nadr bin al-Harith, what does he do? He travels overseas, literally, like overseas, to go gain some knowledge from the Romans and the Persians, to get some stories unheard of, right? You go search for certain YouTube videos, certain books, I want to get content that no one ever heard about before. So he gets all of that, then he goes to Mecca, sits right next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then he says, you guys are listening to Muhammad, come listen to me. Muhammad talks about Ad and Thamud, the people of the past. Let me tell you about the Persians and the Romans. At that point, they were the elite, right? At that point, they were the ones that people look up to. May Allah grant us Jannah and wisdom as to who to look up to. Say ameen. So this man was wasting so much time and he's trying to make so much noise that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received revelation. Some ulama said this surah was revealed because of this individual. There's a lot more to say. What's the ayah? Allah says in the Quran, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانَ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ among the people, مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُضِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمِ. There are some who employ in terms of speeches, in terms of music. نعم, many ulama, and Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud and Sa'id ibn Jubair, they all say it refers to music, al-ghina. So they use any possible instruments to do what? To distract the people from what? From Allah. And that's the strongest of tools. Then Allah says, وَيَتَّخِذَهَا هُزُوَا. And that person is mocking the religion, mocking matters. SubhanAllah, when you hear, يعني, I don't know, it's not even my notes, I just remembered it. There's a very famous rapper. He says a statement of kufr. Why am I sharing it with you? To tell you how dangerous some songs may be. And we say, oh, I don't really understand the lyrics, but it's like, no, Habibi, it doesn't mean you understand it, you don't understand it. It's something you have to be cautious over. Whatever you smell impacts you, right? Whatever you hear impacts you. You ever heard about secondhand smoke? I never smoke, but you're next to someone who smokes. So that impacts you. So subhanAllah, there's this rapper, very famous song, he says, if God had an iPod, the man is very old, right? If God had an iPod, I would be on his playlist. SubhanAllah. He said, Allah would listen to music, he would listen to my music. Had istihza and mockery and who's the one against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have to be very careful. Then Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. These people have a humiliating punishment. They try to humiliate the deen. No, you will get humiliated. May Allah protect us. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Now this surah is surah what? Surah Luqman. Excellent. Now there's a lot of good stuff in the surah. I will focus on verses 12 to 19. That's it. It's a scenario between Luqman and his son. It's a passage that I really wanted to learn in depth so much. May Allah grant you all Jannah for giving me the opportunity to do so. Fantastic. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. We granted Luqman the wisdom. Now, there's a lot to talk about here. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا. What's آتَيْنَا? We gave. So who gave it to Luqman? Allah. Fantastic. Oh, that's the wind? Wow. Okay. I thought that's like a baby, like, you know, trying to take over my speech. All right, fantastic. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا, indeed we blessed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Luqman al-Hikmah. Who's Luqman? Oh, you open up the books, you find all types of things. Some say Luqman is a prophet. Some say, no, he's not. He's of the righteous. Some say he's a prophet. One, some say he's a very righteous man. Number three, the majority of the scholars, they say what? He was not very rich. Number four, majority of the scholars, they say he was actually black, right? What else? Many of the scholars, they say he was at the time of Dawood alayhi salam. Many of them say he was a slave to a master. All these things, Luqman. Not just that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, al-hikmah, the wisdom, there's one narration. Now that's probably seventh point. One time he was working for his master, and his master told him, ya Luqman, give me the most beautiful thing and the most beautiful two items in that goat. What would you get? Huh? What's the best steak? T-bone or New York? Ribeye. Who do you eat ribeye? Some people say if you eat ribeye, you don't understand steaks. Filimen yo, I apologize, because there's no fat. I apologize. I make tawbah. All right? But what did Luqman get? Did he get the shoulder? What did he get? Salah. Yes, he got him the heart and the tongue. Who eats that? So when he went to his master, he gave him the heart and the tongue. The master says, Ya Luqman, ma hadha? He said, oh, master, if the tongue and the heart were the purest of things, this is the best thing in that body. Subhanallah, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Inna fil jasadi mudgha. There's a part in the body. If it's pure, everything is great, which is what? The heart. So he gave him the heart and the tongue, and if the tongue is good, nothing beats that, right? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا. Who is better than the one who speaks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he's like, okay, thank you. Then he went to him, he's like, Luqman, give me the two most miserable parts of the body. The two most miserable parts. And what did he give him? The tongue and the heart, right? The tongue and the heart. So he was so impressed, like, man, I have a slave that category at that level, such high IQ, right? He appreciated him. Some say eventually he was freed. Why am I saying all of this for a reason? Now, what's al-hikmah? Usually translated as wisdom. One of the best definitions of al-hikmah that I came across to share with you, huwa iktisabu al-ilmu al-nafi'. Remember, there's two parts. Gaining beneficial knowledge. What do you think is the second part? What do you guys think? Jared, what do you think? Ahsan. May Allah make you of those. Say ameen. Wal-amala bih, and to act upon it. Because many of us have beneficial knowledge and not many of us fulfill it, correct? Who had so much knowledge but never worked upon it? Shaitan. Shaitan's a sheikh, by the way. Huh? Shaitan is like better than ChatGPT, right? But does he apply what he knows? No. Iblis spoke to Adam. Iblis saw Hawa. Iblis entered Jannah and he left as a loser. So having beneficial knowledge is not sufficient. The question is, how much do you act upon it? May Allah protect us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَنَ الْحِكْمَةَ. Now, after this, what will happen? Allah will tell you what he said, right? What I learned so beautifully, some scholars, they said, Allah gave you his bio. This was his bio. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. Then, Luqman will say, Ya Bunay, my son, do this and do that. Why is it so important? For people to listen to you, it's very important to know who you are. People need to know who are you. I remember one time, subhanAllah, as I was preparing this, I remembered many years ago, I was in Florida for an event. So then, as the event started, my session came up, and there was no biography, no introduction, like who am I, where am I coming from Michigan, what do I do as an engineer, where do I study Islamic studies in Malaysia. None of that was mentioned. No big deal. So I came and gave my talk. Once I was done, a physician came to me. He said, brother, jazakallah khair. He was firm, but he taught me something. He said, jazakallah khair for the session. It was very enlightening, but to be very honest with you, I don't know who you are. So this makes me struggle as to listen to you or not. SubhanAllah, that was quite deep. Right? Like you're saying this, you're saying that. Okay, you're wearing this, whatever. Tayyib, then what? Right? So very important to tell people who you are. So you have to be humble. So when you want to mention the biography of who you are, avoid things that involve your spirituality. Just say what you studied, who you are, who are your teachers. Your teachers play a big role in people listening to you, right? So may Allah grant us wisdom. Say ameen. So that once Allah gave you this, now you got to really pay attention to what's next, because Allah says we gave him wisdom. So if Allah says he's wise, what will we all do? Measure our wisdom to his. Sah, right? We see how wise he is, and I want to measure my wisdom to his. So anything he says is wise. Anything he says can be improved? No. Anything he says should have not been said? No. Everything he said was said perfectly at the right time, to the right way, to the right person. So let's measure our wisdom to his. And subhanAllah, if this is what Allah says, it reminds me of a person who came to Wayne State University, and we were doing our MBA program. He was a multi-millionaire, and that's how he started. So he says, you know, I have this, I have that. We're like, oh, wow. So now anything he says about business, I'm paying attention, correct? And you know what's so sad? Someone says, you know, this is my business advice. Invest in this, invest in that. And you have no clue who he is. And once he's done, you're like, alhamdulillah, I was able to make 1.2 million. Like, bro, repeat what you said. Repeat what you said. Like, go back. La, khalas. Right? So this man, I remember at Wednesday, he said this. Then he said, one of my main regrets of making money, and he took a turn that threw us all off, by the way. He started talking about family. I'm like, this is a master's in business administration. You want to focus in building. You're becoming a manager. It's running the show. He said, I was so busy with making money that I was never there for my children. And when my child, he said, his daughter, graduated from school, she told him, now you come, you never was present in any part of my life, and now you come to this point of my graduation. I mean, there's a lot of things to say here. She should have been grateful because he paid for her tuition, right? Let's be honest. But she's also a bit right, but not the best way of saying it, of he was very absent. So when this being said, I want to learn from him. Because everything we mentioned about him, he was a slave to someone, he was wise, he did this to the master, all that stuff. I want to see which of his life did Allah highlight. Does that make sense? And I'm sure he spoke a lot. Like bro, the guy's dropping gems, huh? Dropping bombs. Is that also in the rapping world? May Allah forgive us, right? But everything he says, like, wow, wow, everything's wow, wow, wow. So out of all the wow, Allah puts seven verses, actually, verse 12 to 19. But before we go to what he said, let me tell you what Allah told him to do. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. And forgive me for the slide. أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. You are to be grateful, ya Luqman. Be grateful. أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. Everything in this ayah is about gratitude. So the head of wisdom, ready? You want to know if you're wise or not? So if the wisdom was, like, you are a body, character, let's say this is patience, this is humbleness, this is, I don't know, modesty. The head, رَأْسُ الْأَمْرِ رَأْسُ الْحِكْمَةِ, the head of wisdom is gratitude. Is to realize, without Allah, I could have not spoken. Without Allah, you would have never been able to understand. Without Allah, you would never be able to apply. Once you come to the conclusion that you're nothing, you're wise. Subhanallah. Allah says, we are the fuqara'u ilallah. We're all poor. Do you know what car I have parked outside? You're poor. Okay? Do you know what house I live in? You're poor. One mosquito can ruin your mood. Oh my God, where's this thing, right? Look how weak you are. Wallahi, as I was coming here, I said there's so many things that can go wrong, right? So many things. I don't know, I started imagining. Sometimes shaitan does that, so be careful. I was imagining, I was running down the stairs to grab my laptop bag, the brown one. So then I twisted my ankle. I know it's crazy. You guys go through that, okay, relax. We all go through some crazy scenarios. Halas? I twisted my ankle and I broke it. Then I said, do I call my wife or do I call Khalid first? I'm serious. And this was like 10 minutes before the session. May Allah forgive us. Then I'm like, if I call the ambulance, how long would it take? Wallahi, it's a true story, right? This today. Then I might miss the session. No way, no way. So I told myself, this is what I will do. I'll call Khalid. I'll tell the brothers and sisters, because 3 p.m. already. I'll tell them to live stream it. I will do a Zoom session on the stairs. That's how I'm thinking, wallahi. I'm like, I think I can do it, but I'll cut it short a little bit. Then I'm thinking, if I move it while I'm, you know, sometimes I'm animated a little bit. I'm like, I can't be animated because then I'll hurt myself. Then he said, okay, once I'm done, I'll call the ambulance. Then when I call the ambulance, I'm like, do I give him the code to my house? Because I have a code. Like, man, subhanAllah. What happened there is how Allah gives us so many things and we take it for granted. So many things can go wrong. But everything is just perfect. Sah. You made it. You found the bag. You got to the car. There's gas. You went to the right exit. You knew when to turn. You walked here. Didn't twist your ankle. It's just incredible. Say alhamdulillah. So many things can go wrong. So anishkur lillah. Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says, وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Very nice. Allah says, when you show gratitude, it's for your own sake. Then Allah says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. I don't need you. Then I am self-sufficient. أنا غني عن كل معرض. Anyone who rejects me, I don't need you. It doesn't hurt me. You dispraise me, it doesn't affect me. It doesn't lower my value. Allah says, أنا غني. Self-sufficient. Then Allah says, حميد. I'm already praised. I'm praised by my own self. I praise my own self, Allah says. الحمد لله. Allah says, I am the all praise due to me. Allahu Akbar. Right? Then Allah says, everything in the universe praises me. Everything praises Allah. Your glasses praises Allah. Your t-shirt praises Allah. The chair you're sitting on praises Allah. The pillow praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything. But the two ones that have the option are who? Is the jinn and the ins. But you know what's so interesting? How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned how he is so gentle with the creation and forgiving. Why is Allah gentle and forgiving in the other verse? Everything glorifies Allah. Then Allah says he's gentle and forgiving. Why? Tell me the gentle part. And Allah is so kind, so merciful. Allah says everything praises Allah. Then Allah ends that he's gentle, he's merciful, and he's forgiving. Why gentle, merciful days? Because imagine, well, $20, for the ones who know, right? When we mention the 20, subhanAllah, hands go up and become creative and like thinking. Because from Allah's mercy, like, I don't hear it, bro. You want to hear it? Are you sure you want to hear your engine saying, subhanAllah, subhanAllah, subhanAllah? You really want your pillow to say, alhamdulillah, like, I want to sleep, I want to sleep. So from Allah's mercy, He does not make you hear their tasbih. That's why He's gentle, He's merciful. You've been you could not have a conversation. And why is He forgiving? Because of how little we do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. You know, subhanAllah, as I was putting this together, there are actually some studies regarding gratitude. Can I share that with you a little bit? It makes you a happier person and minimizes depression. Give us evidence. According to Professor Robert Emmons, he's a psych professor at UC Davis and author of the book, Thanks, How Practicing Gratitude Can Make You Happier. Bismillah, ready? He says, he's been doing experiments of gratitude for more than a decade. The brain of the person who has the attitude of gratitude tends to be more energetic, and therefore you find him optimistic and further away from depression. SubhanAllah. Whoever's grateful is for your own sake. One more. It makes you live longer and live happier. Now, a study by Dr. Todd Cashden, a scientist, public speaker, professor of psychology at George Mason University. He says, research has shown that women who are thankful to their husbands, sisters, only better if you can, live longer and live happier lives. That's why they live longer than husbands, right? SubhanAllah. Anytime you hear this study, say this. وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ. It's for your own sake. One more time. Last one. It motivates the bestower to continue bestowing. That's not the wind. Is that the wind? All right. It motivates the bestower to continue bestowing people. So when you thank someone, that person that you thank will continue to give you what you thank them for. Now, then Allah says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Allah doesn't need you. But if Allah tells you, if you're grateful, it's for your own sake. That means if you're ungrateful, what happens? You'll be in a miserable situation. Anybody here knows another verse in the Quran about being ungrateful? Anybody knows? Yes. Go ahead. Fantastic. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Allah has mentioned that if you're grateful, I'll give you more. Next. Ahsanti. Continue. Ahsanti. May Allah bless you, make you among the grateful. Say ameen. That same verse which all of us perhaps know, or most of us, if you're grateful, Allah gives you more. That same verse Allah says, and if you're ungrateful, my punishment is severe. So it's like black and white almost when it comes to gratitude. It's not like, oh, I'm not grateful, everything will be just fine. No. In an article that quotes Philip Watkins, a clinical psychologist at Eastern Washington University, I'll just mention this one study. He says there's an old saying that if you've forgotten the language of gratitude, you will never be on speaking terms with happiness. It turns out this isn't a fluffy idea. Several studies have shown depression to be inversely correlated to gratitude. It seems that the more grateful a person is, the less depressed they are. Philip Watkins, a clinical psychologist, he says, found that clinical depressed individuals showed significantly lower gratitude, nearly 50% less than non-depressed controls. May Allah grant us gratitude, Ya Rabbi. Now, obviously, I have to also be realistic for what he's saying. Not everyone who was going through depression was ungrateful at one point. We have to also be understanding to that. Now, let's go a little bit religious aspects about Islam. The ulama said something very powerful. The ulama said, if the devil knew a way better than gratitude, he would have made that his ultimate goal to stop you from doing. Let me tell the ayah, then you say this one more time. Allah says in the Quran about the devil, ready? ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ. The devil says, I'll come from the front of you. وَمِنْ from the back. وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ from the right. وَعَنْ شَمَائِرِهِمْ from the left. Like, he will go 360. He go bird eye view on you. Okay? Every direction. Why, ya shaytan, you want to do that? Why, ya iblis, what do you want us to do or stop doing? وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And you will not find them, ya Allah, most of them grateful. That's his ultimate goal, for you to be a complainer. If I get you to be a complainer, If I get you to not recognize Allah's blessings, I got you so bad, nothing can pretty much save you. May Allah make us grateful. Say ameen. Because the moment someone is ungrateful, everything goes downhill. Whether between you and Allah, between you and your family, between you and your job, you take off gratitude, it's a recipe to disaster. But that's why Allah highlighted this out of all characters about Luqman. The greatest sign of your wisdom is to realize everything I have is from Allah. Once you accomplish that, everything else will come nice and smooth, inshallah. May Allah make us grateful. Say ameen. All right. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيْهِ. Before we go to the exact pieces of advice, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ, when Luqman tells his son while he's advising him, my beloved son. Before I made sure I cut the ayah here, few things. Now you know how wise he is, correct? Now you know Allah says he is great, correct? So every child pay attention and every parent pay attention, because you're about to see the greatest conversation between a parent and a child of all time. One of the greatest. Fair enough? Now, with قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُ. Brother, what does Allah share with us in the story about Luqman's wisdom? The only thing from the entire life, pay attention, this is so powerful. And when the sheikh said that, it answered my dua. Out of all the life that he lived, all the events he experienced, Allah highlighted the one of the greatest moments of his manifestation of his wisdom, and the fact that he realized, I need to invest in my children, and that's what Allah chose out of everything he did. It was Allah did not share his wisdom of how he divides his schedule, when to sleep, when to wake up. Allah did not share with you his wisdom as to when read the Quran and how he contemplates. Allah did not share the wisdom of how he perhaps deals with his neighbors. Allah did not share the wisdom of how he invests his money. Allah shared with you one wisdom and how he deals with his children, because that is the greatest of investments in your life. And especially for fathers, why? Because many times as a father, we get so busy with work, and sometimes we justify it by saying, well, I'm providing this, I'm providing that. Correct? Taban, we honor every father. May Allah grant them Jannah. Say ameen. And also now, with some mothers that are in the working field, may Allah grant you Jannah and bless you. However, you have to realize there's a threshold. There's a minimum where you have to say no for more money. There's a minimum. Like, brother, do you actually reach that point in life where you say no for money? At one point, inshallah, you will reach a point, bi-idhnillah, that there's a lot of sources of income, and you will have to make a decision that enough is enough. Can you imagine that? So may Allah open the doors of khair upon us and make us wise. Say ameen. You're like, bro, I will never say no. You'll have children, you'll get older, inshallah, you'll get the job, and you'll see what happens. Just like with food. With food, iftar last night, how beautiful was iftar? Was good? Anybody can share their iftar? Can you share your iftar? Would you continue fasting? La, go ahead. Okay, tell me one meal you ate, one item. Sambusa? Veggie or lahm dajaj? MashaAllah, that's when you know he's rich, right? When your sambusak is vegetarian, you're miskeen. But when your sambusak, your appetizer is meat, Allahumma barik. May Allah open the khair upon you. Say ameen. May Allah bless you and his family. MashaAllah, his family is very supportive. They helped me out, MashaAllah, in the social media with the khutab. And may Allah grant him Jannah, a main pillar of Masjid al-Huda. May Allah bless him. And his father passed away recently. May Allah have rahmah upon him. Ya Rabbi al-Alameen. Allah yahfadak, Ya Rabbi. So here, when you have this iftar meal, you reach a point where you say, enough iftar, right? How hard was it yesterday with that mac and cheese? Like, what's one more? And then two and three. SubhanAllah, same thing with the dunya. So here you put that line. I need to invest in that child, in my children. Now, one of the things, why is it hard for fathers to do that? For many reasons. Number one, your children, our children do not pay us. Do you guys pay your parents? Oh, thank you for that nasiha, Baba. How much? 20 bucks? 20 bucks. Oh, thank you for the juz that you taught me. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. They don't pay us. So our children do not pay us. So the incentives are not there. And they're annoying sometimes. So there's an incentive to increase the threshold, right? So they don't pay us. No financial gain. It brings us stress. I have white hair already. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Right? Not for my children, but for many things, right? Okay, so stress. Number two is what? Or three. How difficult are children? Tell me number three. They're not maybe as wise, right? They give us a hard time. They're not listening. So I tell you and they're not implementing. So number one, no financial incentive. Can be very stressful. They don't even implement much of what I'm telling them. What else? Go ahead.
They're expensive.
You have children?
No
mashallah. How much are you worth? MashaAllah. Like, Allah yahfadak. May Allah bless you. Fantastic, right? They're expensive. It says, I remember the number, from 0 to 18 years old, it costs around $250,000 to raise a child. It's quite expensive. So you have four children, that's $1 million. La hawla wa la quwwata. Why did you say that? Anyhow, bismillah. Right? So all of these things. So there's a lot of reasons why not to say no for money, okay, or no for traveling, or no for extra entertainment with friends, right? And go hang out and play volleyball Mondays and Thursdays, and soccer Wednesdays and Tuesdays, and then you go play tarnib on Saturdays, right? There's a lot of incentives. May Allah forgive us. See, I mean. And not just that, when you invest in your child, many times the investment does not show up till later on, and many times it's actually after the parents die. When does the child really feels grateful to their parents? Like, what's the peak? Tell me. Someone said the number, 40. May Allah bless you, right? Allah says in the Quran, when that man reaches 40 sana, he reaches 40 years old, he remembers who? Mom and dad, because now he has children. And he remembers how they struggled and they suffered, and now he wants to show thanks to them. And ishkur li wali, wali wali. Ya Allah, make me grateful, and Ya Allah, reward my parents for their gratitude, reward them for what they did to me. When did this come? 40 years. Oh Allah. So there's so many reasons not to put them number one in your life. So Allah's teaching us, Luqman was so wise, he was investing from the get-go towards that children. So for parents, may Allah make it easy for you. I know sometimes it's tough to say no for things, but know that anytime you say no, it's for a bigger yes. Right? That's how our teachers teach us. Anytime you say no, it's for a bigger yes. And for children, please give your parents your undivided attention, because they have so much knowledge and information. You may not see it now, but when will you say it? Inshallah, at least by 40 years old. So be wise. Don't wait till 40. May Allah grant us Jannah. Siyam Rabbil Alameen. So, إِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ. Now, what will he advise him? Three parts. Number one, ayat about al-aqidah, the foundational core values of Islam. Number two, usul al-ibadat, the acts of worship. Number three, usul al-akhlaq, character and behavior. These are the three that Luqman will focus on. So as parents, as children, that's the priority. Number one is what? Aqidah, the core foundations. And you will see that clearly. Number two, acts of worship. Because you fix your faith, you fix your understanding of the deen, la ilaha illallah, then you worship Allah with understanding. Number three, now you go out and you launch yourself towards the people around you with good akhlaq and character. Ready for the first advice? وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْبَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ. Ya Bunay, my son, number one in life. That's what I want to invest in you. That's what I want to plant in your heart and every cell of your body. Ya, oh my son, لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Nice, straight, simple, straightforward. لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. Don't put anyone on earth close to Allah. Allah is above everybody, son. My beloved, my sweetheart, the love of my life, you are part of my body. Don't put anyone near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the whole world wants you to do something and Allah told you to do something else, put Allah over them. Oh my son, la tushrik billah. Even when you worship Allah, don't improve your worship because an uncle or an auntie, a brother or a sister or a stranger that walks by, so you make a ruku instead of this. You're like, oh, he's walking by. You make it just a little bit better. La tushrik billah, even with your intentions. Abadan, why? Inna shirk la dhulmun azim. He gives him a reason. And it's very important. Anytime you're capable, when you speak with your child, you speak with your friend, your brother, your sister, and there is room to mention the reason, go for it. Fair enough? So here he says, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Because it's great oppression, it's dhulm, that you are showing worship and respect to the creation, and you're ignoring who? The creator. You're giving respect to the one made out of alaqa, mudgha, dust and mud, and you're ignoring the one who created the dust and mud. Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. It's the highest, it's the epitome of ingratitude that you don't show Allah any thanks by associating someone else with him. And there's a lot that can be said about this. I believe I shared with you the story of the guy that did the job interview. I think it was maybe last semester or two semesters ago. The guy who went for a job interview, and his name is Muhammad. And then at the end of the interview, he felt he's so qualified. I nailed the job interview. I did great. So at the end, the interviewer asked him, Muhammad, he's like, you can call me Mo. Okay, Mo, ma mushkila. I'm not saying it's haram, every Mo in the house. It's okay. Right? I said, Muhammad, just be proud. Yeah. Right? When they make a mistake in my last name. So your name is Majid Muhammad? I'm like, sure. Yeah, it's okay. Right? It's so beautiful, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, call me Mo. He's like, okay, Mo. You have any questions? So Muhammad says, I'm all set. I'm looking forward for the job, whatever. He's like, I know there's something in your mind. What? You're a Muslim and you want to pray Friday prayers. So you want an hour off on Fridays, right? He's like, no. I don't need that hour. Mo, why not? There's a lot of Muslims in the department. We actually give them an hour off. They pray their Friday prayer, Jumu'ah, right? And then they come back, right? He's like, no, sir, I really appreciate it. Very considerate, very thoughtful of you. But I am very focused. I'm a dedicated employee. I put in 110% in my job. Don't worry about this. When I go home, I pray my Friday prayers. You give khutbah to them. Inna alhamdulillah. When I go home, may Allah forgive us. He's like, are you sure? He's like, yeah. Like, okay. So then Muhammad, he leaves the interview. A week passed by, 2 weeks passed by. He doesn't get a call back. And you're advised to follow up with the ones who interviewed you. He sends an email, maybe perhaps no response. But what I know is that he called them. He spoke to a lady. Do you know what happened with that position? I applied to it. Then she said, yeah, sorry, we actually found someone else. We hired someone else. So this Muhammad, who was persistent, he wants to know exactly why did I not get the job. He said, please tell me, what was I missing? She's like, oh, everything is fine, but we just found someone more suitable. Please tell me why. She's like, okay, I'll transfer you. So she transferred him to the hiring manager, the one who did the interview. He's like, sir, remember me? He's like, yeah, I remember you, Mo. So he said, you know, I came to the interview, I checked every box, I had the requirements and the preferred requirements, I have everything. So what went wrong that you had to continue doing interviews? The manager did not want to respond. Part of it possibly is because the reason is not legal, I think, Allahu alam. So maybe a lawyer can help us out. All right, so he's like, insisted. So then Muhammad tells us a story, Mo says the story. The manager told him, okay, I'll be very honest with you. A person who is not faithful to their religion, how can I expect them to be faithful to their job? Knocked them out, right? Round one, done, right? You are not to, which is religious identity is the strongest identity. So here, Luqman is telling the son, لا تشرك بالله, don't put any identity, لا job, ولا culture, ولا ethnicity, above your religious identity. That's your gauge and the way to measure your success. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Now, yes, I did not break my promise. It's all advice. But next ayah, it's like an interruption. Next ayah is like a disconnect. Next ayah is like a, when someone blocks someone in a basketball game, what is it called? Block, but there's another word. And something like, as if like completely like shocked everything, right? Forgive me, I tried to be cool, I messed it up, all right? By the way, where's Isa? Sorry, Ahsant, right? Interference. What does basketball have to do this? It's okay, no one is perfect. Anyhow, right? Interference, right? And the whole word I was trying to translate, you know what was the word? Inqita. What's in English? Inqita. Interfere, khalas, we'll do that. So the next ayah, it's not Luqman said to his son, I want you to imagine, just human beings. Allah's the best example, human beings. Let's say I'm standing next to someone, and let's say that one of the respected young brothers is talking to another guy. Hey, we got to do this, we got to do that. And then I say, you know what? I'll take care of the next one. Like, oh, okay, I got this one. So I put him back for a moment, for his sake, to explain something so important. What is it that now Allah is the best of examples? Luqman, I will take care of this one. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِشْ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَمَيْنِ. Many ulama said, or some said, from the wisdom of Luqman, is that he did not mention his rights. He started with the rights of Allah first. And some said that he, when you go through that pieces of advice, he didn't even mention himself. And even if you want to attribute this to Luqman, Luqman focused on who? The mother. Right? Wise. وَوَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. And we have commanded people to honor their parents. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to help you, because many times we say, how can I be grateful? How can I feel gratitude? Doesn't that happen sometimes? Like, oh, brother, I don't know. Some people ask me when I went to Umrah last time. They said, brother, how can I feel emotional? Like, I see people crying. I'm not crying. Doesn't that concern you sometimes? Why am I in witr, everything, ameen, and the guy's like crying and he's like shivering, and I'm like, I feel nothing, brother. Why am I not feeling anything? So here Allah is giving you a perfect example of how to feel something, especially grateful, especially towards who? Your parents. And the way Allah did it, He says, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنٍ. So Allah reminds you of one of the most difficult phases of your mother's life when she carried you. Then Allah says, وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ. What does it mean? Hardship upon hardship, hardship upon hardship. And subhanAllah, I'm sure many of you can imagine the steps, right? Give me an example of the first hardships of the mother with a child. Give me one first stage. Fantastic. Pregnancy, right? It's very difficult. Sleepless nights, nauseous, vomits, can't sleep, struggling, mood swings. Today she hates coffee. Tomorrow she likes Red Bull, some weird stuff, right? You know what happened when you were pregnant, right? May Allah make it easy. See what I mean? So all that stuff. So when? Difficulty. Give me another stage of difficulty. Oh, go ahead. The actual birth, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says an authentic narration. Three events. Whoever dies right before labor, she is a martyr, shahida. And the woman that dies during labor, she's a martyr. And the woman that dies right after, she's a martyr. Allahu Akbar. Because it's difficulty. It's insanely hard. Wahnan ala wahan. Then after that, what? Well, sleepless nights again. The breastfeeding. That child takes the nutrition of the mother, correct? So what is Allah doing to you? Allah's reminding you of the good that you received. So that's the way to get your heart activated. You have to do an activity. That's what Allah's telling us. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah says, recall God's blessings. You know this whole gratitude journal? This is what Allah told us to do. All over. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ. Recall Allah's blessings upon you. When you recall, what happens to your heart? It gets softened. Like, alhamdulillah. Thank you, Allah. When you remember 4 or 5 years ago, when you were in that disastrous situation, remember that? When you were at the rock bottom in your life, and then Allah brought you back up to who you are today. What happens? Alhamdulillah, I'm out of that situation, right? Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make it easy for us. Say ameen. So you have to recall. So Allah is reminding you of something which you can never remember. Allah is reminding you of something which you can never remember. And subhanAllah, we usually see our fathers working very hard. But you're like, mom stays at home. What does she do? What does she do? What did she did for you to be who you are? And check this out. وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنًا. I learned it, subhanAllah, preparing this talk. May Allah grant you all Jannah. Wallah, may Allah bless you all, Ya Rab. He says, the mother's hardship towards the children does not end when you read she breastfed them, then diaper changed. It's not there. It goes until they live the rest of their lives. Parents are always concerned about their child. How is he doing now? Oh my God, he just got this new job. I hope the manager is treating him well, right? Oh my God, she just got married. I hope he respects her the way her dad respected her. I hope they're not, I don't know what's going on. Oh, maybe Allah, her kids, tallau ainha, right? The children, they made her go crazy. I feel bad. So the wahan does not stop at delivery. You're a mom till this day, and mothers, allow me if I can speak on your behalf, it's okay. You're till this day concerned about your children because fathers are the same way. When I make dua for my kids more than I make dua to go to Jannah, that tells you parents are a whole different level. SubhanAllah. May Allah bless our children. Say ameen. حَمَلَتُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنٍ. So Allah says, and the weaning takes 2 years, which is the highest time, which is the longest period of time to breastfeed and everything. That's 2 years. Why 2 years? Allah wants to soften your heart even more. Allah does not want to make it any less than that to encourage you more. And يَشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرِ. Then Allah says, be grateful to me and to your parents. To me, you will return. SubhanAllah. Why is Allah telling us you will return back to Allah? It can be good, it can be bad. So if you're treating your parents good, oh, I'm returning back to Allah. Yes, He'll reward me. I'm treating my parents wrong. She can't do anything about what my behavior looks like. My dad is doing nothing. My dad is useless without me. He's dependent on me. My mom and my dad and the whole house will collapse without me. You're returning back to Allah and you will see who will take care of them and what will happen to you. And you'll see that shortly in the next ayah. Then Allah speaks about parents again. This is the longest piece of advice in the whole paragraph or the passage. It's about parents. And who's speaking? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ. And if your parents jahadak, what is jahadak? Like pressure. What kind of pressure? Give me a level, like 1 to 10. 10. Ahsant. Jihad is 10. It's level 10. So Allah says, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ. They're pressuring you, forcing you. No, you got to do this, you got to do that. They do all everything. Okay, jahadani to do what? Like to study? No. To worship someone besides Allah. If your mom and dad invest their time, their money, technology, people, neighbors, family members, everyone, school system, government, they do everything, jahadak, so you can worship someone besides Allah. That's pretty evil, correct? Allah says, do not listen to them, but respect. فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا. Do not obey them, but respect them. Be their friend. Stay with them. Don't ignore them. That's the parent that is pushing you to say, Jesus is the Lord, or to say kada kada, or to say there's no God, or to say we came from monkeys. Your parents are like, no, that's evolution. You came from monkeys. Look at your attitude. Whatever the case is, right? Trying to push that, shove it down your throats. Allah says, you know what? Don't obey them, but respect them. And what did Allah say? Number one, what was number one? Don't associate someone with Allah. So they're doing the gravest sin on earth, you still respect them. وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. And follow the path of those who return back to me. Now there's a lot to talk about here, but I'll mention one. Some ulama said this verse and the one before was revealed regarding which sahabi? Ahsanti, who said Sa'd? Good job. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, fantastic. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he's one of the first Muslims. And when he accepted Islam, his mom was a straight-up mushrika, kafir, a disbeliever, a hater of Islam. So she told Sa'd, and Sa'd was famously known. May Allah make us famously known the way Sa'd was. Ready? He was famously known, and yakuna barran bi ummi. He was known to be very respectful and loving to his mom. Like, his mom was everything. So people were like, bro, I want you to be like Sa'd. I want you to be like Sa'd. I want you to be like Sa'd. So now the mother, she tells Sa'd, Sa'd, I will not eat, I will not drink, I will not go under the shade until you renounce your faith. Leave Islam. Stop. So Sa'd says no. She says, سَيُعَيِّرُكَ النَّاسِ. Then know that people will say about Sa'd, قَاتِلَ أُمِّهِ. I will die if I don't eat and drink. I will die from the son. And people say, this is the son who killed his mom. This is the son who killed his mom. You know, that's emotional damage, by the way, right? That's like disaster. This is a mess. This is torture. And that's the card that she used, the mom card, right? In the wrong place, in the wrong spot. So Sa'd tells her, Ya Ummi, O mom, if you had 100 souls, mi'at ruh, one soul leaves at a time. So I see you dying 100 times. I will not let go of one thing in my religion. May Allah keep him steadfast. But even that language may not be the best. SubhanAllah, you see that? Even that language, yeah, you can die 100 times. That's not the best. So Allah says, وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ, which means, follow the way of those who turn to me in devotion. Who is the sahabi being referred to here? Be like, walk on the path of, who is the one that helped Sa'd become Muslim? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. So Allah is telling him, be like Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, the way he treated his parents, the way he treated his wife and children, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, eventually, he had the first fully Muslim household outside the Prophet ﷺ. Full, everyone was Muslim. And he spoke to his parents and everything like that. So be like him in that respect. What's the end? ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَأُنَّبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Then to me, you will all return. Check this out. And then I will inform you of what you used to do. SubhanAllah. Now we're back. No more, what was the interference, the word I said? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares with you what Luqman said to his, what, son. All right. Ya bunay, my son. Innaha intakum ithqal habbatin min khardal. If there was a mustard seed, okay, here it says a small deed, a weight of a mustard seed. Fatakun fi sakhra. What does sakhra mean? A rock. If it wasn't a rock, what's the next word? Fi sakhratin aw, there's three options. What's the third, second option? في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير. He's teaching him aqidah, foundation. What's the two attributes? I'm going to tell you the ayah one more time. You tell me the two attributes of Allah. Ready? The highlights. Allah is telling us that Luqman told his son, he's teaching him Allah's names, but he's focusing on certain attributes here, right? He says, my son, if there's an atom deed, now what's in taku? What's taku? What's the deed? Good deed or bad deed? Or is it provision? Focus with me. I'll mention two opinions. Oh, my dear son, even if a deed were the weight of a mustard seed be hidden, some ulama say what's spoken about here is rizq. If your rizq, your provision, is in a rock, around a rock, what does a rock resemble? What does it resemble? It's very rough, very hard to get. If your rizq was so hard to get, a job, you're applying all over the place, so hard to get. If your rizq was like in a rock, أوف السماوات, what does it resemble? سماء. Far. So far away from you, the rizq, right? Bro, there's no way I can get married, right? You feel so far away, right? There's no way I'll get this, so far away. Then Allah says, أوف الأرض. What does that tell you? What does it resemble? Earth. أوف الأرض, or inside the ground. So we said the rock resembles firmness and roughness, hard, hard to get. Samawat resembles distance, very far away. أوف الأرض resembles in earth. Hidden. أحسنت الله يحفظك يا رب. Hidden. Because sometimes like in places you've never imagined, right? He says, يأتي بها الله. Allah will bring it out. Allahu Akbar. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, son, he didn't say, I got you, son. No, he, Baba, you got me nothing. يأتي بها الله. He didn't say, son, I'll always be there for you. No, I will not always be there for you. Allah will always be there for you. يأتي بها الله. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Allah is so gentle. Latif, latif in what sense? It's so gentle. Here it says so subtle. Allah so, like, ways you've never imagined. Like, it was hidden, hidden. There's no way. And Allah gently brings it. Here we go. Allah, latif. How is it khabir? How is he khabir aware? He knows the right time. He knows where it's at. He knows how to get it. Khabir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is he teaching his son here? Allah knows a lot, and Allah is very capable. Allah knows, and Allah is what? Capable. And if we teach our children that, our kids will not sell their soul to no one. Because Allah is capable. Allah can do everything and anything. I don't need to sell my life to someone else. May Allah forgive us. When I know of a sister, true story, a sister. Sister, ukhti, why are you doing this job? She used to work as a bartender. May Allah have mercy on her. Because she passed away. Rahimahullah. Why, sister, you're working as a bartender? She doesn't like it. She hates it. But she said, you know what? I want to help cover my tuition. Subhanallah. La qadir. Allah is capable. Allah is knowledgeable. And alhamdulillah, she made tawbah. And inshallah, 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 maybe we'll talk about her story in one session. Beautiful. And some of you perhaps even heard her story before. Inna Allah latifun khabir. Allah is capable, son. Ya'ti biha Allah. No matter what happens. What's the other meaning of ya'ti biha Allah? We said, oh, if your provision is hidden, this, if it's far. Okay, Nidhi Dajmi, Allah talk about it. But here, some ulama said, is the sin, the haram that you do. The haram that you do. Oh, my son, if you commit a little bit of sin, even a mustard seed, do not belittle any haram. Don't say, oh, it's not a big deal. La. Even if it's an atom weight, even if you did the sin in a way that no one is seeing you, you went all the way far from your family. You went to Florida, right? No one saw me. في السماوات, right? Oh, fil ard, or you're hidden, closed doors. I made sure I deleted my history. My parents will never know, right? They're old school. La, there's an old school, which is the book that's written. It's written by the angels, right? يأتي بها الله. Where are you going? من رايح? Where are you running away from? You ran away from your parents, so your parents are above Allah? Allah is watching you when you press play? Allah is watching you when you open that screen and open that window, when you send that message, when you spoke to that person you're not supposed to speak to. You think Allah doesn't see that? No, he's telling his son, it's not about me, Habibi, Ya Bunay. It's not Baba will get you, it's Allah will get you. And when Allah gets you, ya'ti biha Allah. So you have to be very careful. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, a man comes yawm al-qiyamah. May Allah forgive us. Ya Rabbi Allah, this hadith is tough. He says, a man comes yawm al-qiyamah. He has so much hasanat. كَمِثْلِ جِبَالِ تِهَامَةَ بَيْضَى. So he got all that mountain of hasanat, good deeds. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَيَجْعَلُهَا اللَّهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. Then Allah turns the entire massive, gigantic mountain of good deeds, the fasting, the charity, the taraweeh, the tahajjud, the fajr, the isha and jama'ah, respect to parents, whatever the case may be, everything, donations, all of that scattered, dust. So the Sahaba got panicked. They got worried. He said, Ya Rasulullah, صِفْهُمْ لَنَا جِلْهُمْ لَنَا Ya Rasulullah, who are these people? He said, هُمْ قَوْمْ, they are people similar to you. They read Quran like you. Who's like you? Like you who, يعني? Sahaba. Right? They're just like you. They read Quran. They pray like you. وَلَكِنْ إِذَا خَلَوْا بِمَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ إِنْتَهَكُوهَا. But when they're alone and no one is watching, they break every boundary Allah placed. And he's saying that to Sahaba that don't have technology people. Like, how can he break the boundary? Like, how can he break the boundary of Sahabi? Desert, goes to the desert, does something, right? in a possible small room in a very small little house, we have the opportunity, may Allah make it easy for us, to break every boundary. Every time we break that boundary, think of that mountain, all the good that you're done. You want to let it go because of that video, because of that chat, because of that friend. If I don't reply back, they will hate me. Yaqi, what about Allah Jalla Jalaluhu? May Allah make it easy for us. These are the ones that didn't care about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not to make you be hopeless. Know that when we repent, the mountain is still up, inshallah. And when we repent, I'm sorry, the mountain is not still up. The mountain will grow. When you repent, the mountain will grow bi-idhnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously, for the 2-3 people here that may think otherwise, if I commit a sin, then I make tawbah, mountain grows. No, don't do that. All right? May Allah forgive us. Say ameen. As we are approaching the end, brothers and sisters, he says now the third and last. What was the first one? The aspect of foundational beliefs. La tushrik billah. What's number two? It was now the acts of, the acts of worship. Ya bunayya aqim as-salah. So out of all the acts of worship, what did he focus on? What did he focus on? Salah. How was your salah? Ya bunayya aqim as-salah. But if the Luqman's son gets asked, Habibi, Ibn Luqman, what's the most thing your dad and mom tells you to do? Ruh salli. Now, what would you say as a child about your parents? What would be the most thing your parents tell you? Your homework. Your homework. That's how. School, right? He made sure that the thing that is in his head the most was what? Salli. Ya bunay aqim as-salah. It's time to pray. Salli. Make sure that salah is one of the most things repeated, because naturally we are impacted by whatever is emphasized in the house. Wa aqim as-salah. And if we're able to do that, sometimes we succeed. And there's standards to that, right? Maybe I know some children, Allahumma barik, their salah, Allahumma barik, young men and women, may Allah bless them, right? There's standards to this. Now, when you establish salah, that's the most important thing in your life. Salah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is salah. And just remember something. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the key to Jannah is what? Salah. You have a lot of keys. You're gentle, you're nice, you're sweet, you're kind, you're generous, you're modest. You kind of, all these keys. You know the keys? Like a janitor, you have so many keys, like 100. All these keys will not open the gates of Jannah. Like, wallah, she's so nice. Wallah, doesn't matter. He is so sweet, doesn't matter. The one key is salah. How is your salah? That's what matters. What's the key to salah? Oof, and if he key inside the key, yes. What's the key to salah? Khushu' close. Go ahead. Ah, may Allah grant you Jannah. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. I want you to be Ayah's friend. Fantastic. Right? It's the young girl, mashallah. She said, wudu. Yes, wudu is the key to salah. So what does it tell me? You can pray the beautiful salah. You know the Quran. Your wudu is wrong. Salah is not accepted. May Allah forgive us. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And make sure you command that which is good and you forbid that which is evil. So when you become more practicing, more religious, that means you indulge with people more. What happens, some people, when they become more practicing, they become isolated, صح? Like, I don't want to, no, you actually become more involved. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the person who interacts with people and is patient towards the harm, because anytime you deal with people, there's harm. Right? And you're patient towards their harm, khayrun is better than the person who worships Allah but is away from people not to face the harm. Now, you try to be very understanding towards that. وَلَا تُصَعَرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. This is the third and last. Now, the first one was what? Matters of aqidah, foundations. Number two was matters of what? Acts of worship. And here, character and behavior. وَلَا تُصَعَرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Do not turn your nose up to people. In terms of the way you talk, don't be arrogant. Right? There's a natural way of an image of arrogance. We don't judge people's hearts, but there's an image. Yes, we will not judge your heart, but the way you talk plays a big role to tell us who you are. Yes? The way you talk, the way you look at someone. Right? I didn't say anything. Like, I can definitely not stand this man, as an example. Forgive me as an example. Right? So, for example, if you're driving like this, right? Especially Warren and Schaefer, may Allah forgive us. Right? The back is all the way there, and you're like this. Don't take pictures. Allah yirda alayk. No pictures, right? And you're driving like this, and your eyes like, what do you do? All right? وَلَا تُصَعَرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. You know what صَعَر mean? صَعَر is actually a disease. Who gets a disease? The camel. That disease, صَعَر, when it hits a camel, the camel actually shifts the neck. So they actually walk like this out of the disease. So the one who does that has a disease. SubhanAllah, it's a disease. To think you're better than everybody, you're above everybody. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مرحى. Do not walk pridefully upon the earth. تمشي في الأرض مرحى. Like you think you own, like what does it say in Arabic? يا أرض اشتدي ما حدا أدي. Right? Which is like, oh earth, hold on. There's no one as strong as me or so. إن الله لا يحب كل مختالين فخور. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the مختال, the فخور. What does مختال mean? What does it say in English? The one who is arrogant and the one who is boastful. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says a man would be walking with a nice clothing. It drags on earth, like it's so long. Now back in the day, long clothing means you're rich, unlike today. Today, if your clothing is touching the ground, it means you need help in a way, صح? Right, in general. So back in the day, long clothing touching the ground is so rich, I'm willing to ruin and spoil my clothing. Then he says, as I'm walking, and so that's man, the Prophet ﷺ says, the clothing is beautiful and the hair is nice. Then he says, and he's walking with so much pride. And who knows that? You know that more than anyone. After that fresh haircut, after that nice clothing that you're wearing, after that nice workout and that shirt that you're wearing, or whatever the case is, may Allah grant us all sincerity, say ameen. The Prophet, he's walking like this. The Prophet says, فَهُ يَتَجَلْجَلُ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Then he will be falling into the depth of hell. May Allah forgive us. So be very careful. You may go to hell for how you act or how you walk, let alone what you say. The last advice is this. وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ. When you walk, don't make it so quickly and don't make it so slowly. Don't make it so slowly like you're sick. Remember the first session? Don't walk like halas, like, you know, this is dunya. No, walk regular and don't walk too fast, all right? وَغْضُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ. And lower your voice. Do not be loud. Do not be loud, even in the nicest ways. You can be in the masjid, Alhamdulillah, Ya Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Ya akhi, fi nas bitsalli, fi nas praying. There are people doing dhikr. Even in Quran, blasting the Quran on that green field in front of your house. Even Quran, let alone bad speech. وَغْضُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ. Do not be loud. Being loud is actually obnoxious, right? So may Allah make it easy for us. وَغْضُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ. Then he says, إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. The worst of noises is the noise of the donkey. Why the donkey? SubhanAllah, when I did this ayah, I was preparing for it, I went on YouTube. I said, let me hear the donkey. It was annoying, right? Because the donkey doesn't have like levels of the volume. Like when he's loud, there's no like, no, he goes so loud and it's so disturbing, right? SubhanAllah, one of the mashaykh said, the donkey is strange. Because you do not be loud like in terms that you don't have to be loud. Sometimes you have to be loud. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was said about him, when he gave the khutbah, the minbar would shake, this authentic narration, his face would turn red, and he was talking so loud as if it's a battle, jihad. But now, obviously, we have microphones, we have things of that sort, but we maintain that seriousness. They say the donkey, when you hit the donkey doesn't yell. But when you let go of the donkey, it starts yelling. Like, it doesn't even make sense. So, waghdud min sawtik, speak with respect, speak without being very loud. Be courteous with people around you. Be conscious of those around you. That's why if you ever sat مثلاً, next to someone, you're talking in an event and someone tells you, can we talk afterwards? Right? I know it's tough, but sometimes we have to take this as an amana. Just an event last weekend in another city, and one of the main organizers during the session, he was just talking in general, like, how are you doing? But the guy's speaking. So I told him, brother, if you don't mind, just can you, you know. So he was shocked, but he respected that. Because when he gets up, I will not talk in your presence, inshallah. Fair enough. So with that being said, thank you for being very respectful. Thank you. Don't leave yet. Just one second. Right? وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ شوي شوي. Right? May Allah bless you, protect you. I really want to thank the ICD and all the volunteers. Please, round of applause for them. Really. جزاكم الله خير.